This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, inshallah, I've had several requests to do a series of videos on our Aqeedah. The Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is what we are. And we call this the Aqeedah which has been described and written by Imam Tahawi, Rahmatullah Ali. So it is called Al-Aqeedah Tahawiyyah. This is the common Aqeedah of all the four Mazhabs, the Hanafi, Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki. And this is the Aqeedah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Sunni Muslims. The purpose of this is for us to understand and know what exactly we believe. For example, if I ask you this question and say, how many of you as Muslims believe that we believe in one God, right? One God. Ilaha wahida. Now, if I ask you, is this your belief? Do you believe in one God? And if you say yes, then it means that your Aqeedah itself is faulty. Because we don't believe in one God. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his identity. Allah is Allah. So for example, if somebody says, La ilaha illa ilahum wahid, there is no one worthy of worship except one God, he does not become a Muslim. If someone wants to enter Islam, what does he have to do? He has to do three things. One, he has to believe in his heart, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the last and final messenger after whom there is no other messenger. This is something that he must or she must have in their heart. They must believe this completely and totally. And then they should say this aloud, ideally before somebody else has witnesses, but doesn't matter, they can say it on their own also, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I believe that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorious and magnificent, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the last and final of all the messengers, after whom there is no other messenger. They must say this, and as I said, usually it is done in a masjid in front of the imam, in front of other people as witnesses. Alhamdulillah, this is good, beautiful, it's a nice experience. But if somebody is in a place where there is no masjid, or they feel threatened, they can't go out and accept this testimony of faith publicly, then they can do it and say it themselves. Alhamdulillah. And third thing which is very important is, then they must live their lives according to that. Meaning that if I have said that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, then what must I do? I must do two things. I must do one thing and I must not do one thing. What I must do is, I must pray. I must establish the salah. Iqamati salah is proof that I believe that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I say that I believe that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and then when the time to pray comes, I don't pray, then by my action, I have denied my belief. And that's the reason why somebody who refuses to pray, somebody who leaves the salah, has effectively left Islam. That is why we need to pray at the time of prayer. That is what we should do. What we should not do is to worship anyone other than Allah, whoever that might be. Whether it's a human being, whether it's an angel, whether it's a mountain, a river, a tree, a stone idol, a concept, a mythological figure, whoever, anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must not worship. So, one thing to do, one thing not to do. What is to be done? Worship Allah. What is not to be done? Worship nobody else. And of course, understood in that is, we should also not join anyone as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Right? So, this is a very, this is a absolutely critical part of our understanding. And that is why we should learn the Aqeedah. That simply saying, I believe in one God, this is, I mean, I know you believe in Allah, but this the way people talk and the way they say, they end up with these kinds of mistakes. So, we must learn our Aqidah. Now, what is our Aqidah? Our Aqidah is, Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri wa qadrihi khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allahi ta'ala wa ba'atha ba'dal maut. Which is, I believe, I have iman in Allah, in His malaika, in the angels, in His books, in His messengers, in the last day, the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, when I will be resurrected and I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the in my destiny, the good and the bad, both of it are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the seventh one is, I believe in the resurrection after death. Right? Ba'atha ba'dal maut. Now, there are seven aspects or seven parts to our belief. Now, I want you to, before we go into the actual, we will do all of these seven. Inshallah, we will talk about all of these seven in detail. But just a few words about this series of lectures itself. This is something that I want you to listen to very carefully. And then I want you to reflect in your own heart and see where you stand with respect to these things and to correct that. If there are any doubts in your mind or if there are any deviations from what I am explaining to you, then it is critical and essential for you to correct them and bring them on to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please think about this. The question is not what is the Aqidah of the Muslims. The question is, what is my Aqidah? Aqidah is a very, very, Aqidah is creed. Aqidah is our belief in our creed, right? Now, this is an absolutely personal thing. It's like my breathing. What will keep me alive is my breath. It is not whether somebody else is taking a deep breath or not. What will kill me is if I stop breathing. The rest of the world can stop breathing, it won't kill me. But if I stop breathing, it will kill me. Now, in the case of the Aqidah, it's not just a matter of killing. It's a far more serious matter, because the Aqidah is what will take me into Jannah or Jahannam. Please understand that all the amount of good deeds in the world are worthless if the Aqidah is wrong. Because with the wrong Aqidah, whatever good we do, we will be doing it for someone other than Allah. And therefore, when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no benefit from our deeds. The Aqidah is the fundamental foundation upon which everything else is built. If the fundamental foundation itself is faulty, then obviously whatever is built on it will be faulty. And that's why it's my choice and I need to choose. Please understand, the Aqidah is not a default setting. Just because you are born in a Muslim home, just because you are Arab or you are Indian or Pakistani or something, just because you have a name Abdullah, Abdurrahman, doesn't mean anything. Does not mean anything. Religion is a matter of belief. It's a matter of consciously choosing to believe something and then to act upon it and to live our life according to that belief. This is the meaning of religion. Religion is not just some default setting that, you know, I'm born in a Muslim home, therefore I'm Muslim. No, no, no. You can be born in the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us examples in the Quran. Nuh alayhi salam's son was born not just in the home of a Muslim. Nuh alayhi salam's son was born in the home of one of the greatest of messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nuh alayhi salam. But he died without Islam. Right? Musa alayhi salam was not born in the home of a disbeliever, but he was raised by the king of disbelievers, the Pharaoh of Egypt. But he was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one of the greatest of them. The key thing is not where you are born. The key thing is what choices do you make in life. And it begins with, who do I choose to worship? What will we gain by this? What do you think we will gain? Number one, we gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu inshallah, because without knowing Allah, we cannot worship Allah properly. So to be able to worship Allah, to be able to love Allah jalla jalaluhu, we need to know who Allah is. And that's why if we learn our Aqidah correctly, then we will have the we will have a correct understanding of who Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is, and therefore we will be able to love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and to obey Him. Second thing is acceptance of dua, because again, it's like shooting an arrow. Without the correct aqidah, your arrow is going somewhere else. There is no target. When the aqidah is correct, then we know, okay, I am asking my Rabb, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, I am asking Him without ascribing any partners to Him. I am asking Him because He is my Rabb and I am His slave. Insha'Allah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will accept your dua. Second one is, it will bring and increase and enhance our love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the barakah of following His sunnah, because aqidah, the belief in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is part of aqidah. It is the fundamental, foundational principle of Islam. Third thing is, we will understand the great danger of shirk and bid'at. Unfortunately, we don't understand this, and a lot of us, may Allah forgive us, we commit and we are engaged in and we are embroiled in all forms of shirk and bid'at, innovations in Islam, innovations in deen. I'm not saying we are doing that deliberately, because if you're doing it, if you commit shirk deliberately, then you have exited Islam completely. That there is no, then you are not a Muslim anymore until you re-enter Islam. But definitely, it is possible to commit shirk, not deliberately, but because we don't have knowledge, out of ignorance, we make mistakes, we believe in all sorts of customs and practices, and so on and so forth. So unlearning the correct aqidah will save us from all of this. Also the issue of bid'at, which is a very, very vile and horrible thing, we'll look at all that in detail, inshallah. But understanding the correct aqidah and understanding how we arrive at this aqidah and what we believe will save us also from bid'at. Then also understanding the great danger of kufr. How can we avoid exiting Islam because we have committed kufr? This is something we understand. Then in the aqidah, because of aqidah, you will also get the dalail, you will get the evidence and proof of how to refute all shirk and bid'at and kufr. Because this is necessary, especially in the work of deen, especially in the work of raising your children, especially in the work of talking to people of Da'watul Islam. We have to know how to refute, how to answer anything that is shirk or bid'at or kufr. We will also get a better understanding of life after death, because that is our final goal. When we die, we will go somewhere, we will understand where we go and what will help us to beautify that garden. We ask Allah to put us in that garden. The knowledge of aqidah will give us this ability and understanding of how to beautify that garden and make that garden a very beautiful garden for ourselves. And inshallah, it will give us a hayatan tayyiba and khatima bil khair, a beautiful life in this world and a good ending, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Now make this dua, this is a dua in Surah Al Imran, make this dua, make it as part of your regular duas, and don't just like a habit. You know, we must be very careful. The purpose of having these awrad, this wird, these wazifas which we recite after every salah, in the morning, in the evening, and so on, the sets of dhikr, this is not just some formula that we simply speak. We must do that with the heart. We must do that with complete and full understanding of what we are saying and expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging and seeking His help. So this dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا وَبَعَدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابِ. This is the Surah Al Imran, ayah number 8, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they say, our Rabb, let not our hearts deviate from the truth after you guided us. Right? So just because we are Muslim, just because Allah guided us, just because Alhamdulillah we may be praying on time and so on, we should not relax, we should not become complacent, because shaitan is continuously at work. And believe me, the more pious you become, the bigger shaitan is after you. Because that is like somebody carrying gold on his head in a basket and going through a big bazaar. And you would be stupid if you did that, right? We don't do that. We hide it, we keep it, we find ways of protecting this gold. If I just carry it on my head, then somebody is going to kill me and take it. And that is exactly what shaitan does. People who are pious, people who are have some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts, who want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who are trying to become muttaqeen, they are the primary targets of shaitan. Somebody who is already a fasiq and fajr, somebody who is already engaging in all kinds of haram, shaitan is happy with him. There is no problem. Shaitan doesn't have to work hard on him. That man is working for himself. But people like you, inshallah, you are not working for shaitan. And you are not working to help shaitan. You are trying to go against him. So therefore, he will fight you. So be very, very clear. Make this dua. O Allah, do not let our hearts deviate from the truth after you have guided us. And grant us mercy. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And grant us mercy from you. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. Truly, you are the bestower. You are the one who grants mercy. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection and his mercy. Then, I want you to get this in your clear in your mind. Number one, Aqidah is not information. Right? This is not some, you're not listening to this and attending these classes for some izafa malumat. No. This is something which is very intrinsic to us, which is close to our hearts. It is the opening of the heart. It is understanding. It is the noor of hidayah, the noor of the light of guidance. Aqidah is our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqidah is to experience the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we need it the most. Right? So aqidah is the foundation of all action. And that is why it is very, very important for us to ensure that we have the correct aqidah, that we learn it, that we keep on reminding ourselves about it throughout our lives, and every action of ours, we judge it on the basis of whether it is in keeping with our aqidah, or maybe we are going astray, shaitan is leading us on the wrong path. We must be very careful about this. Now some dalail, some evidences for the principles of aqidah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is not piety, it is not albir that you turn your face towards the east or the west in prayers, but albir, the quality of piety, is the one who believes in Allah, who believes in the last day, who believes in the angels, the malaika, who believes in the book, and who believes in the prophets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the principles of aqidah. Another one in Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayat which all of us know, Amana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun kullun amana billahi وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. The Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم believes in what has been sent down to him from his Rabb, and so do the believers. Each one of them believes in Allah, believes in his angels, his malaika, his books, and his messengers. And they say, we make no distinction between one or another of the messengers. Then another dalil in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu aminu billahi wa rasulihi wal kitabi alladhi nazzala ala rasulihi wal kitabi alladhi anzala min qabl wa man yakfur billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri faqad dhalla dhalalan ba'ida. Allah said, oh you who believe in Allah. Oh you who believe in Allah. See, here the addressees, the audience of this ayah are the believers. But Allah is saying, no, it's not just enough to say I'm a believer. Consciously enter into this belief. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu. O you who believe. Ay iman walo, iman lao. So Allah says, O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the book, the Quran, which He has sent down to His Messenger, and the scripture which He sent down to those before Him. And whosoever disbelieves in Allah, His malaika, His books, His messengers, and the last day, then indeed that person has strayed far away. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu reported that Jibreel alayhi salam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about iman, and this is the famous hadith Jibreel, which is the Rabi, the narrator of that hadith is Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Hadith Jibreel is a very beautiful, very detailed hadith and a very beautiful hadith. And in that, Jibreel salam asked Rasulullah about Iman. And Rasulullah said, Iman is to believe in Allah, His Malaika, His books, His messengers, and the last day, to believe in predestination, that is destiny, the good and bad of it. Now all the obligatory matters of belief relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of judgment, and other matters of al-ghayb, which is the unperceivable, they originate from these six principles. Right? Which is belief in Allah, in the Malaika, in the books, in the Nabi, in the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's four. Five is in being resurrected after we die on the day of judgment. And the sixth one is the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the both the good and the bad of it. Because when we say good and bad, we're saying just to differentiate, because from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's whatever comes from Him is only good. There's no bad. Allah does not create and send us evil. What may seem evil to us, for example illness, for example pain and so on, is another form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom and His mercy that comes to us, right? So we'll go into that detail later. But the point being here, both the good and the bad of it are from Allah. It's not that the good is done by Allah and bad is done by somebody. No, good and bad from. So these are the six principles of Aqidah. Now, so another fundamental thing in the to begin, which I must address, what I call the unanswerable questions. Now, we look at what those questions are, but there are some questions, for example, in Islam and in which we learn, where you might be tempted to ask for an answer, but nobody can answer that, right? Because this is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our belief is that we believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us without asking how, bila kaif, right? Now, the problem is that, for example, somebody says, oh, but you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah created the heavens and the earth, and then Allah made istiwa on His arsh. Now, what is the meaning of istiwa? Allah is on His arsh means what? Right? Allah Himself, what does Allah look like? Yeah? So, na'udhubillah, we ask Allah's protection from such questions. Nobody can answer these questions. There is no one who can answer, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can answer these questions, and Allah is not talking to us. Right? We are not going to get wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is very important not to ask questions like that. I call this the trap of shaitan for the educated unemployed, people who have got education in one field or the other. Then they feel free to hold forth on Islam. Please understand, Islam is a science, it's a body of knowledge like anything else. So just like you will not extend your tongue and talk about medicine if you are not a medical, if you're not qualified to do that, just because, and you won't say, well, you know, I know English, I can read a book. No, you will speak about it. It's a sign of sanity. It's a sign of a sensible human being that he or she does not speak about something that they don't know about, that they have no qualification in, that they have not studied, right? But funnily, we seem to suspend all these rules as far as Islam is concerned. Everybody feels free to hold forth about Islam, as if they are the greatest scholars. If you are a scholar, please, most welcome, please speak. But if you are not a scholar, then to give opinions and saying, in my view, in my opinion and all that, this is from shaitan. Please understand that. The intellect, the akal, is not a source of knowledge. It's a processor which processes the information that is fed into it. Right? The input data, the input organs are different. The eyes and nose and ears and so on. The sense touches, all of this are input tools. And then what information comes in, the brain processes. The brain does not generate information on its own. Now therefore, to want to rationally, with our akal, understand every reality, even when we do not have the ability to comprehend that, is irrational. To accept that by definition, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and decreed or mentions will always contain matters which we do not have the capacity to understand by our own intellect. This is the position of a rational person. And that's why I called it the trap of shaitan for the educated unemployed. The people who are not educated, they don't fall into this trap. Right? They don't have this arrogance of feeling, oh, but you see, I'm a PhD, I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer. No. He says, I'm a therawala, my job is to sell bananas and that's okay. Alhamdulillah, I believe. I don't have to ask questions. But people like us who think we are very educated, we go and fall into Shaitan's lap by asking questions like this, which, if Allah does not protect us, they end up destroying our iman. They end up with creating all kinds of shukuk and shubuhat in our hearts and minds. And this is a great tragedy because it's like a, I mean, what shall I say? It's something which is very, very, very dangerous, extremely dangerous, because it completely shakes the foundation of all our beliefs. Our beliefs are rational, but part of being rational is to understand that there is something which is super rational, which is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And therefore, what Allah told us, we accept it. What, without asking how, bila kaif, and what Allah did not tell us, we leave it alone. If Allah wanted to tell us, He would have told us. Now, the dalil of this is that they came and asked the Quraysh asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam several questions. Among them, they asked him, what is the nature of the ruh? Right? See this is Quran, which you can imagine, and which gives a beautiful way of explanation. They asked him, what is the nature of the ruh? What is the nature of the soul? What did Allah say? Allah said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلْ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are asking you about the soul. Tell them the soul is a order of Allah. It's an amr of Allah. And we have not given you except a little from our knowledge. Now tell me, somebody is asking you, what is the nature of the soul? And the answer is, it is an amr of Allah. So what did you understand? Do we know anything more about the soul? Is that frankly, just as a question, is that answer a sufficient answer, would you say? It's not an answer at all, because what Allah is saying, effectively what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is, you are not capable of understanding this, so shut up and understand that this is my order. Khalas. And it is the glory and magnificence of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have to explain anything to you. So Allah is saying, I don't need to explain to you. Believe this. This is your soul. That's why you're breathing and talking and saying all these 20,000 things. When I take that soul off, your body will collapse and you will be a heap of mud. That's it. What does this tell us? It tells us that we accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us without asking how and why and so on and so forth. Because those questions nobody can answer. Aqidah is not theory, it is essential knowledge that we need to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it is His right to be loved, to fear to disobey Him as it is His right that we should fear to disobey Him, to learn to ask Him alone as it is His right that only He should be supplicated to and asked from. Nobody else has this right that we make dua. And to learn to thank Him as it is His right to be thanked. And finally, to understand the Aqidah so that we can learn how to take from the treasures of Allah and give to the world. Allah sent us to give. Allah did not send us to take. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayh very beautifully talks about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he compares love, fear and hope, three things. In Allah, love of Allah, the hub of Allah, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger, and the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. So love, fear and hope, these three things, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayh, he compares them to a bird. And he says that the body of the bird is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One wing is fear and the other wing is hope. Without love, the bird will not live. The bird will die. Without love, the bird cannot live. It will die. Without fear and hope, it cannot fly. So if it has no body, it is dead. If it has no wings, it can't fly. If fear outweighs hope or hope outweighs fear, The bird cannot fly straight and it will not reach its destination. So the two must be balanced. The believer stands between fear and hope. Fear of Allah's anger and hope in Allah's mercy. And the dalil of this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمْعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُوا نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, their sides forsake their bedroom, which means they get up from their sleep in the middle of the night to invoke, to make dua to their Rabb, and they stand between بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَتَمْعَ between fear and hope, and they مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ and they spend in charity out of what we have bestowed on them. And فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسُمْ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And no person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, this is the situation of the believer who stands between fear and hope, and who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him in every way, right? And who prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who asks for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. So this is the introduction to the session, inshallah, on Aqidah Tahawiyya, the Aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is what we are, and we will look at the next steps of that, which is next week. We'll look at the Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nature of Tawheed, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help us to learn what is beneficial for us and to benefit us with it, and to help us to stay away from what does not benefit us. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.